And we are good. So, this is our first episode.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I'm really, really excited. I really am. This is going to be so much fun.
I think so too.
Yep. So, do you want to begin with your intro or do you want me to begin with mine?
It's called Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney. So I think you should go first.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So of course I'm DJ. So DJ comes from David Jr. My father is senior. So, exactly. You know, they named me after my dad, and we can get into a little bit later about that situation. But so DJ, and what's so funny about it is every time I tell people that my name is DJ, they go, "Oh, are you a DJ? Like are you like squish, 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 squish?" I'm like, "No, I don't do that kind of DJing." But you know, I like music. But you know, they always ask me that question, but nah, I don't do that. But by trade, I'm a career coach, and you know, I'm a veteran. I have done over 20 years of government consulting, and I'm still sane. And
that
could drive you a little bit batty. And after that, you know, I really, you know, I'm a Unity member, so are you. And the reason why I really wanted to do something like this was because I really wanted to say, "Hey, I'm here," you know. And I don't like talking to myself. Like, I have my own podcast, but I really don't like just like having that dialogue, you know, going back and forth. So, and we have our conversations and they've been so lively. So like, okay, this is a chance to, you know, have that podcast, get that exposure and have a conversation with someone that I enjoy speaking with. And so it like checked all the boxes in terms of everything that I wanted to do when I thought about doing a podcast with you. So I said, okay, well, let me ask Courtney and see how she feels about this thing. And so, that was last year around, you know, fall, I believe. And now we're here.
We are here. We made it.
You know, we made it. We survived the corona.
We survived the corona. We're still in the Ponda replay, but we survived it.
We survived it. You know, this so is my first spiel right there about me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what's up.
That is what's up. So it's my turn.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Courtney. I'm Courtney Hinton. I am a Jill of all skills. Mm. So I have lots of different talents. Professionally, I am an operations whiz and a creative. So I have a graphic design company, Designs by Courtney H. I also am a singer. So I sing at Unity. And I'm also working on my very first EP, The Courtney Hinton Experience, which will debut sometime this year. It's very exciting. And I just do lots of things. Like I said, I'm a Jill of all skills, so I like to solve problems. The last time I had a 9-to-5, I was nicknamed Olivia because I had a reputation of handling it.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, you know, I get things done.
I like it.
And so when you, who I know through Unity, asked me to join you on this podcast, I was like, okay, sure. One, because we can talk. I like podcasts. Mm-hmm. And our conversations are entertaining. I think so. Because we see the world so differently. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, I think that is, no, I believe everyone has their own perspective, but it's different when you are willing to defend it and you know why you feel that way. Now, how many times you've asked someone why they feel that way and they don't know why? You know, maybe they listen to a pundit and that's how they get their emotions or their feelings. But when you can say, this is why, how I feel, and I think that's big, you know, when you actually have your own perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we both have our perspectives, which generally aren't the same.
No, they differ. But, you know, like as we say in our intro, you know, but in the end, it's all love, you know.
Absolutely. It's all love.
It's all love. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So with the podcast, we will connect every week and we'll discuss some hot topics. And then maybe some weeks in the future, we can have some guests join us. But pretty much it'll be just us breaking it down, the world the way that we see it, right?
Yep, breaking it down. Yeah.
Great. Well, this will be exciting. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, it's already exciting already. I'm so... I was like, I had so many emotions today, excitement. For some reason, I started getting nervous at one moment. I'm like, why am I nervous? Like, I've done podcasts before. I know Courtney, you know. I'm just like, it hit me all of a sudden. Like, you know, when you said, you know, are you ready this evening? And I went, yeah, I'm excited. And then this one, it hit me. I'm like, this is kind of weird, you know. So then I was frantic in here and I was having problems getting on. I'm all frantic. I'm sweating. So yeah, that doesn't happen to me in this situation. Even when I'm meeting with my clients, I don't feel the way. So it's really, really weird. It's a weird thing going.
Are you nervous now?
No, I'm not nervous at all. I'm not nervous now at all. It's just a different energy here, you know? So I'm liking it though.
Yeah. So, I was really excited. I think I was dreaming about it last night. It wasn't a podcast with you though. It was with somebody else. I don't know who this person is, but I was dreaming about being on a podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think I was really nervous today. I was a little concerned about how I was going to set up my studio. Since I live on such a busy street, I was like, I can't, like, even when I record things for the EP, it's awful. Like, I know I'm not going to do the final vocals here because there's so much noise from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in my closet right now in my office. But as I was trying to set it up and like get the chair in here and get a light in here, like making sure I can plug in my laptop so it doesn't die and everything. Mm-hmm. While I'm doing all of that, there's all of this noise outside because it snowed. And I think there was more ice in DC than snow, but the people didn't come to clean it up until this evening. So all I hear is a scraping. And then against my window, since I'm on the ground floor, I hear like, I don't know what it sounded like. I don't even know what to describe it with, but it was like the salt that they were laying out. It was like going up against the window, but it was so loud. And I was like, thank God I'm putting the studio in the closet. But I don't think I'm nervous. And I don't think I was nervous. So.
Okay, that's good. And you know, I can't hear anything now. So
that's good. I hope it stays that way.
You know, well, you know what? Courtney lives in Washington, D.C., in a busy metropolitan area. And I'm out here in the boonies in Virginia. So, you know, and it gets kind of loud here sometimes too. So I remember one time I was actually recording, I was in a meeting and it was all virtual and someone's car alarm went off. I literally go outside and knock on the person's door to say, your car alarm is, you know, could you cut it off? Because you could hear it so loud. You could hear it through the, you know, the people that I was on the meeting with actually were like, that's really loud.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, so, you ready to hop into our topic for tonight?
Yeah, I am. You know, I saw this was an advertisement, a trailer about this documentary about Whitney Houston and Bobby Christina.
Yeah, get that right.
And yeah, it's you know, they have one about Bobby Brown, her and her as well, but this one was about her and her daughter. And I said, okay, well, let me check this out because I haven't seen any of the documentaries at all. The movie that came out a few months ago, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the Whitney Houston Bobby Brown movie. I haven't seen any of it.
I thought you loved Whitney.
I love Whitney, but I don't like anyone say anything negative about her.
Okay.
You know, and I wasn't sure how they were going with it. And I sometimes feel like I don't know if they're using her name to push some other agenda. So I get really kind of frantic about, you know, what are they doing with this, you know, trying to clear her name. And, you know, it's a lot of people that are involved with her that I think if she was here, things would not unfold the way they kind of unfolded, because she's a very private person. So, you know, but for some reason I wanted to check this one out because it was a different take. It's about her and her daughter and their relationship. And I wanted to know more about how Bobby Christina died, because I didn't know a lot about that. And this documentary did go into, it was really eerie. I was kind of like blown away because I didn't know that the guy that I think her son was Nick Gordon, where her adopted son was Nick Gordon. And I did not realize that he was there when one of the first people that was there when Whitney Houston died in the tub. And he also was the first person to be there when Bobby Christina died. See, I didn't know that. And they actually was asking, okay, both these women died the same way and the same person was there when they died, the first person to be there. So right. That kind of went, ooh, you know, that kind of made me feel like, okay, that's, and then I didn't know that he was dead. You know, Nick Gordon is dead. I'm like, wow.
Right. So, first of all, let's clear up a couple of things. So this is a documentary that's on Lifetime right now.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then you said that Nick Gordon was the adopted son. I don't think that was a formal adoption, right?
No, I don't think it was either. I don't think it was a formal adoption. But they didn't really go into who his mother was or how she came to adopt him. They just showed that he had a brother.
Right.
You know, so
well, I think what they were trying to say is that they had a familial relationship. You know, Whitney just sort of brought him in as part of the family, but it wasn't an adoption thing. And then, you know, it is interesting that Whitney saw him as a son, but then later Bobby Christina starts dating him.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I picked up on that, but I could understand it because that's all she had, you know, that to remind her of her mother. So I could understand why, and being that young and that sort of in that bubble, you can't trust anybody. The fault, you know, Bobby Brown, it doesn't seem like he was really there for her. So I could see how that could have happened. You know, it's unfortunate because it's kind of embarrassing to me, you know, but
what's embarrassing?
That the public looked at her like, okay, this is like, we didn't know that Whitney Houston had a sort of kind of, you know, quasi stepson or stepson, but a adopted son. And we find that out at the same time, we're finding out that him and Bobby Christina are dating, or, you know, are having a romantic relationship. It just seemed like incest in a way. It was just too much at one time. Like, okay, I'm trying to process she had adopted son. I'm trying to process that, you know, first of all, she's dead. First, then I'm trying to process what Whitney Houston's dead. And then I'm trying to process Bobby Christina and her adopted brother are in a relationship. And now I think all this was happening at the same time when they were about to do a reality show. And I'm just like, this is a whole lot of stuff at one time. And it was just a bit much. It just sounded very seedy.
Mm. What did you think of the documentary? Let's step back. And what did you think of the documentary as a whole? But besides, I get that that's your highlight. The highlight is around Bobby Christina and her life. What, any other like highlights from the film for you?
Yeah, it was very sad. At one point, I almost, you know, I think I cried maybe, you know, I don't just watch stuff and cry. You know what I mean? Like boo-hooing. I mean, I wasn't boo-hooing, but I had a tear or two come from my eyes when I was watching when they found out that she had died and her goddaughter broke down. I mean, she really broke down when she was, and that kind of made me go, wow. And I really felt for her. And they all were breaking down because they said all the screaming and hollering and it was just, you know, it was just so sad because it reminded me when my nephew died when he was one of crib death and how I had to tell my mother and my sister that he was not with us any longer. And all the hollering and screaming on the phone when I was telling them that, it brought me back to that. And I had to literally pause it for a second. And why I didn't watch the whole thing. I told you I finished watching it today because I stopped the other day because I had to just, it was too much. Mm-hmm. And then I finished watching it last night, but I stopped at that moment when they was breaking down saying, you know, they heard all the screaming and all the, you know, and they're asking what's wrong and, you know, they're finding out what's wrong and then they're breaking down, crying. Okay, this is too much.
It was heavy. It was heavy. You know, I would say since I've seen all of the other documentaries, since I really, really love Whitney. She was my idol. The beginning parts of it was almost like a summation of all the other documentaries, which I appreciated because the first one that came out, I don't think they spent any time talking about Robin. And her role is really big in Whitney's life. The second one, I think the one that was Can I Be Me, they definitely did talk about a lot about Robin's relationship and how that impacted Whitney and impacted Whitney's relationship with Bobby Brown. There was something in the documentary on Lifetime that I hadn't heard in any of the other ones around Whitney's passing that I thought was interesting. And I think it was, I don't know if it was her niece, I don't remember who said it, but they said that they thought it was awkward or weird that Whitney died in the tub because Whitney never took baths. No one has ever said that in any other documentaries that I remember. So I thought that was really interesting. I mean, the conditions around her passing have always been, you know, suspect.
Right.
Because nobody was in the room, right? You know, she was just found. Allegedly. So I would agree that I still remember where I was when I found out that she died, you know. It was just so sudden and so unexpected because she was in a good place, it seemed like, you know. She had done Sparkle and things were moving in the right direction. And I remember seeing her funeral. I remember that day. I remember all of that. So reliving that and hearing those close to her relive that was really heavy. I think that it's really heavy. Moving into Bobby Christina, it was really interesting the way that they laid out how she was parented and how hearing her friends talk about what it was like being with her. Because in the other documentaries, I can't remember which one, it almost made it seem like there was one documentary, I feel like one of the family members said she never had a chance because she was raised on the road because Whitney didn't want to leave her behind, probably because of what happened with her growing up. And I think it's interesting, you know, how you said that Bobby Brown wasn't around maybe after Whitney passed. And I don't know, because everyone says how much he loved Bobby Christina, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know if you're involved like that. How do Nick Gordon sort of get his claws sort of like that? Because it was saying how controlling he was and abusive he was. I'm like, okay, where's Bobby Brown, you know, and all of that. So that's what made me feel. And for her not to, I'm not saying that he didn't say anything. If he did say anything, it was probably, she probably was upset with him. Like, you know, I felt like she was angry with Bobby Brown because of the treatment of how he treated her mother, because she said in the Oprah interview that he spit on Whitney. And she said that Bobby Christina said, oh, divorce him, you know. So it seemed like there was anger there, and that's the only man that really probably, you know, because when someone dies, you try to cling on to whatever you can that reminds you of that person. I think that because Nick Gordon and her was raised by Whitney Houston, that she felt that Nick Gordon was that thing that kind of held on to her mother, you know? So I just felt like, you know, and like you said, she didn't have a chance. You know, it's nothing. I mean, what do you got? You have nothing. Right. You know, your mom is gone. Your dad is out there flailing. Nick Gordon doesn't seem to be too good of a person. Her grandmother is I don't know. I think she's mean as hell. I think she's meaner than a wet cat, if you tell, you ask me, you know.
You talking about Sissy?
Sissy Houston, I believe she meaner than a wet cat.
I would have to agree with you on that.
And Whitney Houston's manager, what's the lady name? Houston, Pat Houston. I believe she just a nutball.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I think she is. I look at her sometimes like something was not. And people always say something's not right about that woman, you know. And so you can't trust her either. So it's like she had nobody. It's like who can't you trust?
Yeah, I think that it's really, really interesting. One of the biggest things that I think to take away from the whole documentary and their stories is, I don't know how to articulate it clearly, but it's a really direct representation of like generational curses, or like how things are passed down. Because Whitney was like almost suffocated by the fame monster. Like she really, after her and Robin split, she really didn't have anyone in her corner to advocate for her. And her career, like in all of the documentaries, they talk about how once the bodyguard happened and her career just sort of exploded and skyrocketed, she was almost a slave to her career. You know, everybody always talks about how Whitney was like this homebody who didn't really want all of the glitz and glam. She just wanted to be an around the way girl. And she couldn't do that with her career the way it was. And then with her addiction, you can't trust as an addict. And, you know, like in this documentary, they were saying that one of her close friends was also an addict. So she didn't have anyone to advocate for her or stand for her. And then without doing that, she couldn't create a community for Bobby Christina. Since you're right, Bobby Christina didn't have anyone. And I think I would agree with you that I don't know what Bobby Brown's role was in her life, but I'm sure Bobby Christina probably looked at him sideways based on how he treated her mother. And I'm sure that the tabloids and gossip sites and all of that didn't help either. Because he moved on with his family.
And I didn't realize he had another daughter after he had another daughter after Whitney Houston died. I'm like, huh? You know, yeah. So I'm like, sure, that's a strike right there too. Like, wow, you're out there. I guess you, for me, I would look at it as a betrayal because like, oh, you're over my mom because you're out there with this other person having children. Like, you know, what's that about? So I can see how that could like look like straight up betrayal, you know? So I just felt like, I feel like to me, she clinged to Nick Gordon because she's mad at her dad, and she is trying to cling on to the memory of her mother.
My perspective is that Nick Gordon is a snake. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that he charmed Whitney. I think that, you know, he saw money. He saw access to whatever he wanted. And so he charmed Whitney, and he presented himself to be this stable figure for Bobby Christina, but probably was also feeding her drugs and feeding her like all of these things to make her unstable and reliant on him. So, you know, I wasn't sure about when he came into Whitney's life. I don't think the documentary explained that, or if it did, no. I missed it.
I don't remember either.
So it's like, I don't know what state she was in to assess who this person was, but the impression that I got from that documentary is that he's a snake. He was a straight up snake.
Yeah. And Tina Brown. And
manipulative.
And Tina Brown's a snake too. I'm just being real. I mean, because Tina Brown said that, you know, Bobby Brown's sister, she said that Nick Gordon would go and get them their drugs. You know? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, so
and
that
I'm sure got him his drugs too.
Yeah.
So everybody's an addict.
Everybody's an addict. And and she kind of alluded to that he would also be getting Bobby Christina their drugs, and they all knew that Bobby Christina was on drugs as well. And I'm just like, and I wanted to put my hands around Tina Brown's neck. I just saw her as a snake too.
She was an addict.
The reason why I call her a snake too is because she sold this story to the National Enquirer.
But didn't she explain why she did that?
She claimed that her and Whitney was in agreement with that. And if you look at the little print that they had highlighted, if you looked at it, it says that she spends all day, you know, doing drugs, playing with sex toys, gratifying herself, and she doesn't take baths. Who would put that in, you know, who wants to make that public knowledge?
Well, what we don't know is what she actually told them. Because tabloids are tabloids, they can add in and embellish and all of that. But what she said was that they were at rock bottom and they needed help. So I believe they sold the story to get money to get help.
Okay, well, I saw Tina Brown as just, I don't know. I feel she loved Whitney. But I felt like when you have two people that are on drugs, and maybe when Whitney was trying, and this is what the vibe that I was getting as she was talking, that Whitney wanted to leave the drugs alone. She was trying to clean her life up, and she cut Tina Brown off because she was trying to clean up. And when you cut people off like that, you're not buying them drugs, you're not supporting that addict any longer. So she needed money to buy her drugs and how she got her money to buy her drugs after Whitney cut her off was to sell that story to the tabloids. That's what I felt as she was talking. And she, and to protect herself, so she's like a total straight up backstabber, she's tried to claim that her and Whitney decided to put this story out to get help. And she said, oh, that was my stuff on that counter too. Yes, it was quite sure that was also her drug paraphernalia on that counter as well, because they were both doing drugs. But tell the truth about, did Whitney cut you off when Whitney was trying to get clean? Because it looked like the lady who was Whitney's mentor, Lori Starks, they never clarified when Whitney was trying to get clean, what was Tina Brown doing? She never talked about rehab or anything.
Yeah, but they don't introduce Lori Starks until after the Enquirer story happened and Whitney went to rehab.
Right, exactly.
So that means that Tina Brown could have been telling the truth.
It's a possibility, but she to me just came off as straight up just sort of snakish, you know. So
I have to watch it again.
She tried to explain it so that it wouldn't be, and she also tried to explain to her brother, my brother was a gentleman. And I'm like, maybe in the hood way Bobby Brown was a gentleman, but I don't see Bobby Brown as a gentleman. I really don't. I mean, maybe for a girl who is from the hood like that, and she maybe see that as a gentleman, but
I think what she was saying, not to say that I agree that Bobby Brown is a gentleman, I don't know. I don't know if gentleman is a word that I would use to describe Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. But I think what she's trying to say, and what I've seen repeated over and over again throughout the documentaries, is that the bad boy image that Bobby Brown had when he came out was just an act. And that he was really a sweet person, and that I think what his camp is trying to do is to go against those rumors that Bobby Brown corrupted Whitney Houston, because Whitney Houston had such a good girl image. You know, Clive Davis created something that wasn't real when it came to Whitney. And the narrative was that Bobby Brown is a reason why Whitney became the addict that she was, which isn't true. But I don't necessarily know if I can say that Bobby Brown was a gentleman, because clearly he had his own addictions and also was abusive in their relationship. So that to me does not describe a gentleman.
Right.
But it also doesn't, I mean, I don't know, you know, if you look at his rap sheet, he's not a gentleman.
No, he's not. I'm like, what are they getting that from? And they
but I can get that, you know, they both were living a lie in terms of their public persona.
Right.
At one point.
Right. And I seen the TV show, and they had a TV show in which I love, the Bobby Brown TV
Being
show.
Bobby Brown, you Being like Bobby that? Brown.
Oh, I love this show. I wish I would have bought it on DVD when you could buy it. Now you can't buy it on DVD any longer. They stopped it.
That's good. But, that's a good thing.
I love that show. I watch it every time when I possibly can. Like, I'll see it come on my feed on YouTube. I watch it. I love it. And I could see the sweetness and the kindness in him. But I also saw the hood rat, too, in him. You know, that for the hood rat type, I mean, he's from Boston, from the bad side of Boston, and maybe for a bad girl or a ghetto girl, that she could see that, you know, that sweetness and that kindness that he has, that boyish, he has a boyish sort of energy, you know, like really, like, you know, very innocent in certain ways if you look at him, and very playful. And I could see how that can come off as gentleman in a way, depending on who you're talking to. But, you know, but sort of irresponsible. I could see how she wanted him to be more.
We need to slow down. Did you just say that a ghetto girl could see Bobby Brown as a gentleman.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. What kept coming to my mind as I watched it, mm-hmm. and they kept saying he was a gentleman, and I'm trying to figure out what kind of girl sees Bobby Brown, and you know, I'm not saying he's effed up. I'm not saying that he's, you know, Nino Brown, you know, but I'm just trying to figure out what type of person thinks that Bobby Brown is a gentleman.
And Whitney Houston.
Right, but they said Whitney Houston, if you would have met her, and I believe this is true, she was like an LL Cool J around the way girl.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a around the way girl would see him as, maybe I should say instead of saying a ghetto girl, an all the way around the way girl could see Bobby Brown as a gentleman, you know?
And that's because their expectations are low?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Kinda.
Oh, you know. Okay. I don't co-sign that. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can give you some stories. But it's just another show about expectations and how low the expectations are sometimes. You know, and just it's just not. And then I mean, later you get it. I get it that later, as you become like a woman, and you go, oh, I deserve better than this. I deserve to be treated a certain kind of way. You get that. But sometimes, and I mean, hey, I'm a gay male, and I have had some pretty effed up expectations in relationships as well. And then as I got older, I went, oh, absolutely not, you know? So I get it that your expectations of a 20-year-old is not the expectations you would get in your 30s and 40s and plus. You know, so that's
more about age than environment.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then sometimes, you know, you don't never get it, you know, so it's.
And that could be something altogether different.
But it may be
dangerous to make an overgeneralization like that, that women that grow up in the hood have lower expectations for their relationships. I mean, it's a stereotype. We have baby boy.
I think making a generalization is always dangerous.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yes.
You know, I think it is always dangerous, but I just was trying to understand when they kept saying, even Sherelle said it. I think Pebbles, you know, Perry Pebbles Reed, I think even she said it at one point that I know Tina Brown, her brother, said it, but even when Sherelle was saying it, I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, so I'm like, okay, what frame of mind do you got to be in to see that as a gentleman? And I think
they're just trying to say that Bobby Brown has a tender heart.
Okay. Okay.
And that's not the narrative that he has.
No,
not the narrative of being a bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I can see putting that up against Whitney Houston's image out there in the 80s and 90s, putting his image against hers definitely makes you look like a bad boy. Yeah. So all in all, I think that he's a good guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a Nino Brown. But Bobby Brown definitely is not my definition of what I consider to be a gentleman by no means, you know, at all.
Yeah, I don't know him. Like I said, I think the people say that because he doesn't have the image of even being a nice person. So they just want him to know. They want the world to know that Bobby Brown has a tender heart. Another thing that I kept thinking about, especially because I knew we were going to talk about it on the podcast, is just the nature of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as I grow older and as the world changes, we are definitely talking about things that we don't talk about as a people more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so heartbreaking for me to see both mother and daughter die from addiction.
Right. You know,
because again, the documentary does not clear up how Bobby Christina died.
No.
It doesn't say for certain that she died in the tub. There it nods actually to her not dying in the tub and her dying some other means. And in any way, I still think her addiction got her to that place, right? And so for me, as I was watching it, my hope, my biggest hope was that people take away that addiction is real and it's an illness and it's not something that is a character flaw. And it's not something that we should judge people for.
Right.
But like, it's a real illness that requires the grace of God and will and a supportive community to overcome. And then once you get to a place of recovery, it's a lifelong battle, you know? So I just kept thinking about that and like thinking about the people in my life that I know are dealing with addiction and grateful to be a source of community for them, to keep them on their road to recovery. And, you know, I wonder about celebrities and I wonder about Bobby Brown because I heard recently that he lost another child. I didn't fact check that, so that might not be true, but I think it was true. And I don't know where he is on his journey with addiction and all of that. But I think it's just really important that if you get anything from it, it's not, the documentaries aren't another tabloid tell-all thing. It's I hope that it's another way to humanize addiction and recognize how difficult of a battle that is.
Yeah, my takeaway from it was, well, of course, everything you just said, but also how important it is to be yourself. That when you are putting up a facade of who you are, and then it happens on a mass scale, how that totally messes up your life, you know. And that was what it showed me, was her not standing up and saying, this is really who I am, and I'll never have that pressure that she had by any means, you know, because she's a pop princess, you know. At this point, you would consider to be a pop queen. In the 80s, I mean, what she was doing in the 80s, all the girls are doing now, you know. And I remember the hatred they had for her in the late 80s because they kept saying she was too white. And now she's the standard, you know. And to take on all that negativity, I could see how I could really do a mind F on you. I could see that. If you, I mean, I know drugs are rampant in the business, and she was a model before she actually signed her record deal. So, you know, in that environment, everybody is doing cocaine here and there to stay awake and just to, you know, keep up with the schedule. And then, you know, it's just a sort of part of the life. And then you get hit with all this stuff, and now you're trying. There's a coping, you know, mechanism, because you are having all this guilt about not being this image of who you are. So I looked at it as Whitney Houston as an example of when you are not who you really are, and the world sort of sees only a facade, this is the outcome of that. And no matter what she did, she tried. I mean, I bought her album, Whitney, when she executive produced it herself, and everybody was saying, oh, that, you know, I mean, I got so much hatred towards me if I told people I like the album. So I could see how she was trying to get people to say, this is really now who I am. Nobody was accepting it then at all. They were saying she was crazy. So I could see it. I could see how she could, how drugs can turn you out. And that is your coping mechanism to deal with that.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't say that it's any different, but the other documentaries highlight that she was probably using before she was even a model, because she started with her brothers.
Right.
Her brothers got her using. But yeah, I think I was also thinking of Amy Winehouse when I was watching it too, just because I remember they didn't talk about it much in the Lifetime documentary, but another documentary talks about how her father really pimped her out and was like using her fame and her status for his own personal gain. And I think the same was true for Amy Winehouse. But yeah, I think Whitney battled a lot in terms of living up to an image.
Mm-hmm.
And then also those golden handcuffs of her career.
Right.
You know, I remember there was one interview, it might have been, I don't remember. There was some interview a long time ago, and she was saying that she would give it all up to go live on an island to
sell lemonade,
smoothies on the beach. Right?
Right.
No, but she didn't see how to make that possible.
They wouldn't allow her to. She said Clive Davis called her back and said, it's time to come back to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like she was saying, she said she was done, but she said Clive Davis called her back and said, you know, we're going to do this. So,
yeah,
you know, and so I felt sorry for her. I mean, I felt like she was a puppet, and thank God she was. And I'm not saying that. I mean, I understand the facade and all that, but when I look back at her image in the 80s and 90s, I just want to it's just immaculate. When I look at that, I just think this is just the best thing. This is my pop princess. Give me all of that. So I look at, she sacrificed herself for us. For to be our pop princess, our Black, because she was like Oprah said, she was our first, she was the first Black princess.
Hmm.
You know, and she sacrificed herself to keep that image for us. As long as she could. And I'm appreciative for that. So I'm not saying she shouldn't have done. I'm like, thank God she did that for me, because I might not be discussing her right now if she did not. So I can't knock it. I just say the girls that come after her look at that image that she was able to project, but you know, you don't have to be phony about it. You can have that image and be real about it, you know, because now it's a standard now, you know, for a Black girl to be in a Versace gown. You know, you didn't see that at all. No Black girl a regular girl didn't care about being in a chiffon gown, you know. And now I see Black girls, they wouldn't dare go to a classy event in a beautiful gown. And Whitney Houston was one of the first women to do that, to make that cool. So, thank God for her and her sacrifice.
That's an interesting perspective. I'm not sure if Whitney was the first. I think that she definitely, she was the first to do a lot of things. I don't think the industry has changed. I do think that the industry is all about making money. Mm-hmm. So if someone is willing to fit the mold that someone thinks will make money,
mm-hmm.
they will do it. And so I don't think there's been much change in that way. I can't necessarily say that every artist that's out now or the big artists that are out now are authentic to themselves for the most part. you know.
Well, not necessarily for the art, I'm saying just the girl who's watched, because my sister, she when in the 80s, she was loved Whitney Houston. I mean, and I remember she, you know, girls back then, during that time in the 80s, they didn't care about a chiffon gown or looking like that. But after my sister saw Whitney Houston, she wanted a gown now. She could see herself. It was attainable now because she saw Whitney Houston in that, you know. So what I mean by that is those girls who saw her in the 80s, they feel comfortable in a gown like that because they saw Whitney Houston in it. So even though for Whitney Houston, it was not what she would have decided, but for my sister, seeing her in that made her go, oh, I can be beautiful like that too, in that gown.
Yeah. Whitney was definitely a bright star that just extinguished too quickly, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm grateful for her impact in terms of music and her passion. You know, I loved her. I loved her so much. Mm-hmm. I just send really good energy to all of the people who were closely impacted by her life and her passing and Bobby Christina's. Mm-hmm. Because that, it feels like a tragedy. It really does.
Oh, it is. It's definitely a tragedy. You know, it's definitely a tragedy. And it'll be a story that's been told, I think, 100 years from now, and they'll be still talking about this story. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Elvis and Marilyn Monroe, this still will be with one of those stories. Michael Jackson, this will be one of those stories that people would talk about for the years to come, even, you know, from after years after their death.
Yeah.
Right. And I definitely wanted to get into a few other things. Oh, Gorilla Girl. So Gorilla Girl got her Gorilla Glue Girl got her money. They had actually suspended, but they, I think some people were saying that she was fraudulently saying that she was going to do certain things with the money that she really wasn't going to do with the money. And they put a freeze on her account. GoFundMe put a freeze on her account. Well, GoFundMe gave Gorilla Glue Girl her $23,000.
Isn't her name Tessica? Tessica?
Tessica
Brown?
Brown, I believe it is. Yeah. Tessica Brown. A lot of Browns today.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. I mean, I've been following this story since I first heard it, and I'm rooting for it at the same time because I think the story is just so hilarious. And
he doesn't need the money anymore. The surgeon donated his services for free.
He said that she's going to donate $20,000 to his charity.
Oh, okay.
And take the other money, and she's going to help her family or something like that. She said she was going to do it, and I guess GoFundMe was happy with that, so they released the funds to her after. Because initially she said she's going to use the money to get her hair, you know, taken care of. But they're like, well, why do you need the money now? Because you got your money, you got your hair done. But then she said, oh, no, I'm going to, you know, give it to charity. And then I think once she said that, then GoFundMe was like, okay, well, if you do that with the money, then you can keep it.
You know what I've been interested in? The company that she sold out of, the Got to Be Glue.
Mm-hmm.
Hairspray that she ran out of.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have anything to say?
Like, they haven't said a mumbling word. They haven't said.
They give her. They need to like give her some hairspray so she doesn't use Gorilla Glue anymore.
Yeah, but you know, help her out or something.
No.
But you know, Gorilla Glue just said good luck. You know, that's what Gorilla Glue said on a Twitter account. Like, yeah. Okay, you know, good luck with that. You know, but they gave her, I mean, she has given them like so much free publicity. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they were
to not use their product in inappropriate ways.
Right. But
I didn't know that that was necessary because I don't know anyone else who would do that.
Right. You know, but I'm like, I think about glue and I'm thinking, oh, okay, if I need glue, I'm getting me some Gorilla Glue because that stuff works. Now, I'm putting it, you seem with a good lay on the side here. Then no, you know what happened.
Don't do it, DJ.
People have been getting out. One guy got a cup stuck to his face, and people have glued their lips together over the last couple of weeks.
There are a couple of people who do need to glue their lips together.
You're right. Maybe me. I don't know. But
no, but, you're okay for right now. But, I'll let you know.
But yeah, you know, so it's a lot of interesting stories out there. You know, some stuff is just so scuttlebutt that I can't even address it because it's so bad. So,
any last words?
Well, we almost have an hour coming up on the hour, and I just wanted to say this has been so much fun. I just enjoying this conversation so much. And for our listeners, our viewers, our new subscribers, it's going to be also posted on YouTube. And one thing about YouTube is so great is that people can make comments and you know, people might have a issue with how I see things. And I'm always open to looking at things from a different perspective. So if you got something to say about something that I said, then feel free to drop a comment. So you can also, I'm sorry.
We're
going to share the show. You know, I actually took the time to actually create the email address for us. So we're breaking it down show @gmail.com. So you have any topics that you think we should cover, or you have questions that about me or about Courtney, go to breakingitdownshow@gmail.com. If I can get that right.
breakingitdownshow@gmail.com. And we're also on Instagram. So you
also
can DM
on
us.
Instagram. We on
breakingitdownshow@gmail. We are not at Instagram. Are we? We're not on Facebook yet.
I'm going to create the Facebook.
You want to be on Facebook?
Yeah, we're going to be on Facebook, Instagram. I really want, maybe definitely Facebook, but okay. Maybe not Instagram. But
We are on Instagram. We're already on Instagram.
Oh, okay. We're on Instagram. Okay. Well, we definitely need to be on Facebook.
Well, you'll manage Facebook.
I go to Facebook quite often. So I have gotten this love for Facebook after I kind of left it alone for a while. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see the value. But I just want to reach out to you guys and just see what your thoughts on it. This is our first topic, but we'll keep it going and we'll keep it light, keep it fluffy, and keep it inspiring and funny. Yeah, it was heavy, but Whitney Houston's such a great topic. You know, one thing I wish we could have done, but we can't because we don't have a license, is to play some of her music. That's what I would have loved to do.
You can sing it.
And
no, okay, that's it. No, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, you can reach us at breakingitdownshow@gmail.com and on Instagram @breakingitdownshow. We thank you for listening to our inaugural episode.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week. Peace.
See ya. Bye.